with, and I'm not too sure how many sessions we'll do with this, but I pray that we can get enlightened and have some part of our spirit man be awakened tonight to this area of having a spiritual mindset and looking at things spiritually, having an involuntary spiritual viewpoint. What involuntary viewpoint do you think most of us have a lot of the time? It's the carnal man. It's the flesh viewpoint. It's operating out of our senses, being sensual, being carnal, and not being spiritual. And so, Jesus wants to open the eyes of His church and His people to the spiritual realm so that you begin to see the motivation behind the things that go on in your life. So that you can know what spirit is initiating your thoughts, what spirit is initiating the conflict in your life, what spirit is initiating your motivations, where your motivations come from. And so what I want to do is I want to start with a very simple thing that Paul said, a couple scriptures out of Romans chapter 1, verse 9, verse 11. In verse 9 he says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." This is a profound thing that Paul says. He says, "God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit." Most of us serve what we serve with our intellect, with our mind. Why? Because we're taught to do that. We're taught to basically serve from intellect or out of a basis of knowledge. The more you know, the more you're taught, the more you learn, the more you're able to relate and to serve, to work. And it's a bypassing the spiritual realm and the heart. So, and then he goes on in verse 11, "I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you might be established, to the end that you might have an addition to your foundation, that you might be established, rooted, grounded in truth." But look what he says. He could have said, "I long to see you and come with you, be with you, so that I may teach you some good thing." But he didn't say that. He said that I might impart. You know what he could have said? "I long to see you that I may give you a gift." Would you rather come to a meeting and be taught or come to a meeting and receive a gift? Really? I mean, yeah. All of us would. And see, our mentality, so many of us, the way we think is, well, great, come to a meeting tonight, get my pad and pencil and my Bible and look to learn some new thing. Because that's how we're taught. You don't go to class in kindergarten through college to have anything imparted to you. You go to learn. Now there's an advantage and there's good in learning. But that can't be the trunk of the tree. That has to be the branches. says, you know, you go into the local schools, you see learning, knowledge is the key that opens every door. Problem with that is it opens most of the wrong doors. So Paul establishes here right off the bat that he is, number one, he serves God in spirit. And he looks to impart. So, in 2 Corinthians, we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is what he says of himself and the ministry team that's with him. In Corinthians, when he talks about, when Paul talks about we, when he's referring to the ministry, he's not talking to all of us. When he says, we are ministers of the Spirit, he doesn't mean all Christians are ministers of the Spirit. Hopefully, we will become ministers of the Spirit. But you have to understand, this isn't a general term. He's speaking specifically about himself and the ministry team. That's important. So verse 6, he says, God has made us able, capable ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter will kill, but the Spirit gives life. So here again, Paul says in Romans 1, 9, that what? I serve God with my spirit, not my mind. In 2 Corinthians 3, 6, he says, we are able, competent, capable ministers of the Spirit, not the letter. Because the Spirit gives life. You remember our last meeting when I said sometimes I lose you. Sometimes within a meeting I'll lose you and you won't be able to follow because I sometimes we're looking for, we get kind of excited because I'll lay out a principle and I'm going through some scriptures or I'm going through some principles and then I'll divert. I'll leave off. It's like, we're on our way to Dodge City in the buckboard, and we're going down the path and we pass point X and point Y and point Z, and then all of a sudden the buckboard stops and we're running out on into the prairie. So this ruins your 6-point message that you're trying to develop and trying to follow it. Because and any minister of the gospel, any minister of the Spirit that ministers the way Paul is talking about ministering, that'll happen in their ministry. You know why? Because as the Holy Ghost is laying out a principle, when he gets to a place that's starting to connect with people's lives and where you are in your life, enough principle and he starts moving into the ministry of the Spirit. Start picking on different ones of you, asking you questions, making statements. That's the ministry of the Spirit. And what does that do for you? It connects you. It makes you feel like you're the only one in the room. You're wishing that there were more people, or you're wishing you were sitting in the back. Or maybe hearing it from, we had the TV set up and you're hearing it from the wings because there's too many people to get into this room, so we're on television. It'd be much better to sit in the wings. You don't get picked out of the crowd and named and all of that. What he says here, so we need to be able to flow. And we need, If we're connected to the spirit of the message, it doesn't really matter whether the six-point sermon is ever connected or not. Because there's life in what's being said, and there's specific things that we'll get. So if I haven't gone through this in a while, but remember what we're supposed to do? You're supposed to pay when you come in here. Pay attention. If you don't have enough money to pay attention, somebody will help you. So you give. The first thing is you focus. Colt. See, he should have sat in the wings. You focus. You focus on what's being said. You give attention. You try to. It's almost like this. It's like, you know, here we go now. We start the buckboard, I'm getting off. Groucho Marx. Groucho Marx, you bet your life. Household word. Everybody uses. If you say the household word, the duck's going to drop and you're going to get $50. And so, if you're focused on the man of God or whoever's up here, if you're focused and you're trying to focus in on the Spirit, if you're trying to connect, if you're paying 100% attention, not being distracted by somebody eating or somebody, you know, passing out from a heart attack or something like that, you know, you stay focused. If you do that, then there's some ducks that are going to drop for you. Because I'm going to be saying some things and getting into things, and it's almost like there's some body language that I'm going to be giving, and the ones who catch it get the prize. The ones who recognize when the Spirit comes and when the Spirit's speaking, because not everything I say is going to be for you. But something that's said is going to ring a bell. It's going to quicken you. So what do? You pay attention. 100% attention. What's the second thing? You mark what moves you. That's why I don't want you taking notes like you would in class. I want you to be attentive, follow the scriptures, get into this thing, let the Lord minister, let the Spirit move, and then when that thing comes to you, when I read that, first time I read that years ago, I was reading Romans. I decided one time that I was going to read Romans. I've told many of you this story, but I decided one time, I'm going to read Romans. Romans is a great book, and I'm going to read it. I'm going to sit down, read it. I'm going to read it all the way through. So I got myself all settled, and I got my cup of coffee, and I sat down, and I said, I'm going to read Romans today. I'm just going to go through it. I'm going to read it. And so I started off, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. That's as far as I got. You know what stopped me? Separated. When I read that, I stopped. The buckboard stopped. Horses ran away, and I was sitting there all by myself. That's how loud of a message it was to me. And you know what the Holy Ghost said? What do you think he said? He said, are you separated? Are you sanctified to the gospel? Or do you play gospel once in a while? How separated are you to my gospel? That's as far as I got. And then I started thinking about some other scriptures came to me. So for the first week, I read Romans 1:1. That's as far as I got. But that, it was such a revelation. Well then, after I got done with that, I read down, I don't know how long it took me, but I got to verse 9 at some point in time, a couple weeks later. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. That stopped me. Isn't that great? I mean, so mark what moves you. That moved me. I marked it and I stopped it. And the Spirit spun a bunch of stuff from it. But it spoke to me. What's the third thing? Oh, it's been a while. Get the full counsel of God. Get the full counsel of God on what moved you. It's okay, we're not in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry tonight. Somebody's thinking, oh, we're never going to make it. I'm not in a hurry. That's why we brought refreshments. I know some of you have to go to work at 7 in the morning. We can make it. How do you get the counsel of God on what moved you? Huh? Okay, share it with others. What else? Walk and pray. What else? What you said. What else? Get in the Word. See, the guy that doesn't do it got the answer. Way to go, James. Should have sat in the wings. Get in the Word. Man, this moved me. Separated. You know what came to me instantly? Sanctified. Sanctified. Then you know what came to me? Our Father who art in heaven, holy is thy name. Holy is thy name. What's God's name? Holy. I started thinking of the Holy Ghost started feeding me all the things that meant separated, sanctified, holy, separated unto the gospel. So I went through the Thompson chain and I looked it up. I got all kinds of scriptures. And you know what I found after several days went by and I prayed about it and I thought about it. Do you know what I found? I answered the question that he asked me. It took me a long time to answer his question. Are you separated from the gospel? I could honestly answer, yes, I am. Yes, Lord, I'm separated. You've separated me, and I am not kicked against you. Did I think I was perfect? No. Did I think I was totally sanctified, separated, walking above the earth? No. But for the light I had, he had separated me. How many of you wouldn't say, well, I don't know if I'd say, yes, I was. So if I said, well, no, Lord, I don't think I am, what do you think he'd say? Well, Gene, if I've sanctified you, if I've separated you and you followed me, then what are you? Then we start having to repent because we start denying what the Lord's done in our life. Yeah. Self-righteous people are good at doing that. And that's a spirit, by the way. The self-righteous, religious, church-going spirit. People who love to go to church and die every Sunday morning, they're demonized. Go to dead churches listening to dead sermons by dead preachers. There's a lot of that going on. And it kills you. But those, I'll tell you, those religious church-going spirits, they love it. Okay. What's the fourth thing? Pay 100% attention. Mark what moves you. Get the full counsel of God. What? Yeah, cover the seed. Do it. Do it. Just put a big, I'll ask you to put a check mark, right? Yeah. Nike in. Isn't that terrible? Do it. Do it. What was the message? When was it? 2 meetings ago? Walking in the Word. Walking in the light. Walking in the Word. I know some of us think, well, geez, I don't remember all the words. You know, I don't remember all the things that the Lord's told me. I don't know that I can walk in it because I don't remember it. If you could hear from the Lord, He'd say, gee, one thing. One thing. What was the one thing I asked you to do? I'm neck high in garbage. Don't tell me, Lord, I'll get it. Right, Dan? Should have sat in the wings. Great. Empty the garbage. Right, Dylan? Should have sat in the wings. How many of you here can honestly say, I mean, don't raise your hand if you don't mean this, because the Lord will test you. Yeah. How many of you here would love nothing more than to be God's trash man? I can see we're not going to have much of a deliverance ministry going on here. What do you think God's trash men do? They take out other people's garbage. Yeah! Can I rethink it? Can I change my mind?
You know, my mind left me when that movie Trash Man on the Stand. That's what happened.
Come out of her! Okay, that's later. We have to do this. This is like 101, Operation 101, folks. Pay attention. Mark what moves you. Get the full counsel and do it. And part of getting the full counsel is not just sharing it with others, but talking to leadership about it. So, in 2 Corinthians 3, Paul says, we're able, capable ministers of the Spirit. And he compares the ministration of the Spirit to the ministration of the law. And he says, one is under condemnation, the other is under life. The ministry of the Spirit far exceeds the ministry of the letter, the ministry of the law. Look what Jesus said in John. Jesus said, the true worshipers will worship the Father, what? In spirit. This needs to be underlined, highlighted, and circled. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him, what? In spirit. We have to, now, hopefully by the time we get done with these next 2-3 sessions, you're going to be able to identify the difference between worldly wisdom, carnal spirits, being, you know, carnality is a spirit too. But when we're talking about, when Paul says, I worship God with my spirit, when he says, I serve God with my spirit, Jesus said, you must worship in spirit. Everybody worships in spirit. Everybody does. Okay? The devil worshipers worship in spirit. It's the wrong spirit. Religion is spiritual worship. All religion is spirit. It's what we do. None of it's scientific. It's all spiritual. But what we want to identify is the difference between the spirit of my mind and the Holy Spirit. The spirit of my mind, my carnal way of thinking, and my spiritual mind and my spiritual way of thinking. We need to be able to clearly see the two. A good example is, all of us have done this. The Lord may say, you may read in the Word or the Lord, one of his commandments is lose your life. You must lose your life to find it. Okay? Everybody knows that principle, right? Jesus said you must lose your life to find it. So if you come up here and the Lord gives you a word, or you read it in here, you're reading through John or you're reading through Matthew, and all of a sudden you read where Jesus says, unless a man loses his life, he can't find it. And all of a sudden, your stagecoach stops. And your horses run away. And there you're sitting. Why did that happen? If you're carnally minded, you cuss and you yell and you shoot at the horses and you pack up your stuff and start walking. If you're spiritually minded, you say, this happened for a reason. What do you want me to see, Lord? What are you trying to show me? So you read where it says, a man, you must lose your life to find it. And that arrests you. That stops you. Now, the next thing that's going to happen could be carnal, your human carnal spirit of your mind going to work versus your spiritual man beginning to speak to you and your spiritual man beginning to reason true. When the Lord says in Isaiah chapter 1, come now let us, what? Reason. There's a spiritual reasoning. And there's a carnal reasoning. Now see if you can tell the difference. See if you can tell the difference between, tell me which one of these is the spiritual reasoning. I'm sitting in my stagecoach, horses ran away. My thoughts are, unless a man loses his life, he can't find it. So, here's two ways of reasoning. First way is I think, praise the Lord. I know this comes from you, Lord. I must lose my life. Okay. Well, you know, I know some things I can do. You know, I've got some things in my house and I've got some possessions that I need to give away because, you know, I've got too many cars and too many horses, and that's probably why the horses ran away, because the Lord wants me to get rid of my horses. It's an example. It's a demonstration. And I need to start giving my money to the poor, and I need... And the other reasoning is, well, okay, praise the Lord. And, you know, gosh, I feel really bad about the way that I made my own way today. I should have, you know, my wife didn't want me to leave, the kids were sick, but I went on the trip anyway. See, one, which one you think is spiritual reasoning, which one you think is human reasoning? Yeah, the second one. Because the first one is, I'm figuring out what I'm going to do for the Lord. I'm figuring out the things that I'm going to give away and lose so He'll be happy with me. I'm going to do what? Self-sacrifice. The other one is, I'm convicted by how I thought and what I said, and I went against what I felt like maybe I should do because I felt like I wanted to take this trip. See the difference? And usually you can know that you're in self-reasoning and you're reasoning with the carnal mind when you can't ever come to an end. In other words, one scenario leads to another. And when you get done with this mental game that you're playing, when you get done, you still don't know what to do. You're still not resolved really what you're going to do. You've got several possibilities. Well, I can sell my house and move. I can quit my job. I can keep my job and keep my house and sell my kids. We just go on and on. And by the time we get done, we still don't know what we're going to do, but we've got a dozen things we're thinking about. That's not the Lord. And that's the strength of human reasoning. Now, those may not be real good examples, but I mean, when Paul says, I serve God with my spirit, it's a tremendous thing he's telling us there. He's saying, and if you look in... Well, let's just do that real quick. It's not on the board, but I want to go there. Philippians chapter 3. Let's just do this real quick. Philippians chapter 3. Because Paul in his testimony here